Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 48, correct?
Correct.
I'll begin by reading. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow is brass. I have even from the beginning declared it to you before it came to pass. I showed it to you, lest thou shouldest say, my idol has done them, and my graven image and my molten image have commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not you declare it? I have showed you new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heard them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from that time thine ear was not opened. For I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I delay my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for you, but that I cut you not off. Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory to another? Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. My hand also has laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together. All ye assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near to me. Hear ye from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, which teaches you to profit, which leads you by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, when then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also has been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it to even the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Good chapter. A lot of good stuff here. Let's back up and start over. Hear, Shammah. Hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to what you hear. He says to this, O house of Jacob. Okay? Jacob was a flesh man before the change. Which are called by the name of Israel. Being called by the name, does that mean you are that name?
No.
The change hadn't taken place in Jacob, but in Israel the change had come to place. And that means they were somewhere in on the journey. Would you agree to that? He said, Jacob, you're somewhere on the journey. Aren't we all on a journey? We're somewhere on that journey. And are coming forth out of the waters. Okay? What do you think that waters really is? Okay, first of all, we got a problem with the water, because that word there should be loins. Very deceptive. Out of the loins of Judah. What's that telling you? out of the loins of Judah. It's a tribe descended from the first. Judah was where Jesus came from, the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's telling you, the tribe of Judah is the first fruit, okay? Which swear by the name of the Lord and make mention. The word make mention is not fair. It's not a good rendering at all. It literally should say remember. The word and remember the God of Israel. The word God here is not Yahweh, but it's Elohim. The plurality of God of Israel. But not in truth, nor in righteousness. There's a whole lot of people running around this world today, just as it was then, saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Muslim, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Jew. And none of that means anything, because it's not in truth or in righteousness. If you truly understand what you are, we're all children of the Most High God. Okay? And all you're doing when you're putting a label on yourself of being this or that is saying, I'm better or superior to someone else. And that's ego. And you need that one. You need deliverance from that one. You need to understand that God is no respecter of persons. Now, I thought of that funny thing, but I'm not going to say it. But we have to realize God made us all the same way. So we're not superior to anybody else. Didn't he say the greatest among you would be what?
Least.
What'd you say?
Least.
He said you'd be a servant. What I was looking for, okay. The greatest among you is your servant, okay? That, what you said was still another verse, but that's, I was looking for the one about servant. The greatest among you would be the servant. So it's not about getting somebody to wait on you. It's about you helping somebody else. Because, verse 2, they call themselves of the holy city. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm this, I'm that. All these different denominations. Denominations just means divided anyway. And they're separating themselves from somebody else as being better than somebody else. And they stay themselves or they lean upon the God or the Elohim of Israel. The Lord of the masses is his name. The Lord of the masses. The masses is the whole mass of humanity. He's the Lord of the whole earth, isn't he? He's got them all. But, you know, they're not doing it right. He's already telling you right there that it's not in truth nor in righteousness. So if it's not truth or righteousness, what good is it? I think Paul said he counted everything as dung. Even his heritage as a Jew, he counted as dung because it wasn't in truth nor in righteousness. That's just the way it is. I have declared the former things long ago, it should say. And they went forth out of my mouth, and I caused, and I didn't show them, but I caused you to hear them. I set them where you had to hear them. Okay? I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. He wanted you to hear it, so you couldn't deny it. Verse 4, because I knew that you are obstinate or stubborn. Imagine that. Now today, if you tell somebody you're stubborn, you would be offensive to them. God's telling us all, you're stubborn, you're stiff-necked, you're obstinate, right? Come on.
Where's your compassion?
That's what they say. Where's your compassion? Where's the truth? What I'd like to ask. Just tell me where the truth is. And your neck is as an iron sinew. The word sinew is actually a tendon. So that tells me your neck is stiff and you can't bend. You're not flexible with it, right? Iron is inflexible. It will break. And your brow, and that word brow literally is your forehead, is brass. Should be your forehead right here. What's in here?
Your forehead.
Your mind. There's the hard part right there. And he said brass. Brass is a combination of several things. It's there's other tins and metals mixed in with it. It's an alloy, in other words. Yeah, well, see, bronze is an alloy also, so it's not just pure brass. It's alloys in there to make it harder, make it stronger. And if your mind is an alloy, a double-minded man is what?
Unstable.
In all of his ways, and that's why he's telling you our minds are unstable. We say, oh no, we're right. Everybody says we're right, don't they? Everybody knows they're right. They couldn't be wrong. And as I've said before, the greatest idolatry in the world is thinking that your thinking can't be wrong. When you think it's impossible, all I say is somebody prove to me. I get people all the time challenge me. I said, oh, you challenge what I'm saying? Don't condemn me, because that won't show me anything. If you want me to understand what you're doing, you've got to take the time to make your words understandable to me so I can process them through my thinking process and can say yay or nay to what you're saying. But it's your responsibility to convey it to me if it's your thought, isn't it? See, we're supposed to be able to articulate. Did he say to make it plain so they that read it can run with it? If we speak the truth of God, the Word of God, it's our responsibility to make it where it's palatable to you to understand, so you can take it in and understand it. There's people who have no education whatsoever. You can't talk Greek and Hebrew to them. They don't even understand English. You see what I'm saying? You've got to reason with people and come to the level where they understand. So that's what we got to do. It's like the day of Pentecost. Peter spoke one word, and everybody thinks tongues was the miracle on day of Pentecost. Tongues wasn't the miracle. The ear was the miracle, because he spoke one word and 18 different languages understood what he said. That's the miracle of the Spirit of God. But we have to also come to a place where we can minister to wherever somebody is. We got to find out where they're at and go there. You can't stand up on the top of the hill and scream down in the valley at somebody. Stand on a curb when they come through town and scream you're going to hell if you don't get saved. That's not going to save anybody. How about getting down in the curb with them? Get down on the gutter with them and talk to them. Okay.
Making it useful for everybody.
Right. Make it where they can understand it. He said in verse 5, I have even from the beginning declared it to you. From the beginning. Before it came to pass, I didn't show it, but he should say, I told it to you. Lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved image and my cast image has commanded them. He said, there's things that I didn't tell you until a certain time. It's all about timing with God, so that you couldn't contradict what he was saying. You have heard. That word heard is shama. You've heard with the intent to respond positively. See all this, and you've seen it, and you will not declare it. I have told you these things. Not showed, but I have told you these things now. I've told them to you now. Even hidden things, and you did not know them. Now here, I'm told you, and you didn't know them. They are created now and not from the beginning. He said, I'm creating things right now so that you can't say you knew them from the beginning. They're brand new things. He said, I'm creating them right now. Even before the day when you heard them not, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. Teddy, like kind of you said a while ago, what was that word you used when we said, yeah, I know, when you're talking to somebody and they don't understand, but they say, yep, I know. Same thing. God said, I know how you are. You're going to do the same thing. You're going to say, yeah, you know, and you can look them in the eye and know they have no clue what you're saying. So that's what God's telling us. We see it all the time. Verse 8, he says, yea, you heard not, yea, thou knewest not, yea, from the time your ear was not opened, because I knew that you would deal very treacherous and was called a transgressor from the womb. How about an Adam or a rebel from the womb? What's it say? Rebel?
Rebel.
Yeah, that's a good rendering of it. You were called a rebel from the womb. You wouldn't obey what anything said. You wouldn't believe what I said. And that's the nature of the human beast. See, we're not saying that's bad. We're just saying it's not God. God wants us to obey him as sons, be an obedient son. He said, I don't want
you anything else to do.
I understand. That's why I said, I'm not saying it's bad to be that Adam nature, that rebel. That's the way God created us. But he wants us to come to the place where we understand that being obedient is more important than doing the sacrifices and rebelling. Just be obedient. For my name's sake will I delay my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for you, that I cut you not off. And that's not a good rendering. Let me give you the rendering of what the Hebrew language says here. It says that I cut you not off. Here's what it should say. Until I cut a covenant with you. I'm not going to cut you off, and before anything happens, I'm going to get cut a covenant with you. So then you're covered. So if anything happens, you're still covered.
That's crucifixion.
Sure it is.
Talk. They shed blood.
He shed the blood. That's how the covenant was made. And Jesus shed his blood and cut the covenant with us. And actually, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, the conception of the world. So it was already taken care of. But he said, I want you to know ahead of time, I got you covered. How many people today you really think really knows that God has got them covered today? But a lot of people speak the words, like he said, but not in truth and righteousness. If you say it in truth and righteousness, if you understand what God said, you're covered, you wouldn't be in condemnation and guilt or low self-esteem. You wouldn't be there. Because you're exactly the way God wants you. Exactly. Do you think Pharaoh was messed up some way? Do you think Judas was messed up some way beyond anybody else? Nope. Had the same thing we did. God just didn't give him deliverance. He used him on the negative side. And what if he uses us on the positive? It doesn't make us any better, does it? We're still his property. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. He's got you. Whichever way he wants to use you, that's okay. Because in the end, he'll take the care of all of it. That's all that matters. Verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. And I want to read this in the NAS. Okay? Let me get this book open here. There we go. 48:10. Behold, this is the NAS. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. See? He said, I didn't put you in a refining pot and just take you out like silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I didn't just put there and heat you up. I put you in this furnace of affliction. And that word affliction can speak of poverty, misery, depression, grief, all these different things. And all those things are the things God uses to refine us. When we learn to deal with them in our mind the way God wants us to deal with them. Do you think Jesus had the opportunity to have grief, poverty, depression, misery? When he was going through all he was going through, from his own creation rejected him, and he never complained because he knew his Father's goal. And if we know our Father's goal, we won't complain either. We won't. We'll be like that mute lamb and do whatever Father wants because it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference.
Testing your character.
That's all it is bringing your character to your attention. So you know who you are. God already knows who you are. He knows your finished product. He knows how far he's going to refine you. But we don't know. And it's all about us finding out who we are on that journey.
It's like I was saying with that speed of light. Mm-hmm. We don't change God, though.
No. Well, we change us. We change us. Okay? So, verse 11, it goes on to say, For my own sake, he says it twice, I think there's an emphasis there, will I do it. Did he do it because we asked him to?
No.
He said, for my own sake. And make it clear to you, for my own sake. He made it very clear. Will I do it? Because how should my name be polluted? How can you pollute God's name? Can you?
No.
You can't pollute the nature of God in you. Flesh is polluted already, can't be refined to perfect, can it? Flesh is flesh, and it'll die flesh. Spirit of God, His nature, His character, can never be defiled. Can't be. It's impossible. And I will not give my... And the word and should not be there. So he says, because how should my name be polluted? There's a question mark there. That's the end of that thought process. The word and was put in there by the writer. Shouldn't be there. And his next statement is, I will not give my glory to another. How many of you have heard that statement through your years in church? God will not give his glory to another, but he will give it to his son because his son is the same as him. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He will give it to his son, but to the disobedient sons, they won't have it. But his glory will be to the sons of obedience. Verse 12, Shama. Hear me with the intent to respond positively to me. O Jacob, the natural man, and Israel, the spiritual man, my called. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. So he said to the first one, he says, Jacob, and to Israel, my called. So the natural man doesn't have the call, does he?
He's speaking to both of them at the same
He's speaking to, well, they're both inside the same man. But he said, I'm not talking to the flesh man. I'm talking to the spirit man. I'm talking to the Christ within you. And isn't that the truth today? We've said before, we've had some jokes made about it, and some people was aggravated with it, but that's okay. I've said for years, if the man wants to preach, let him preach. Whether he's wearing a female suit or a male suit makes no difference. But let the man Christ in that vessel speak. And that's what God's talking about. Let the Christ, the man, speak, not the woman. Let the woman be silent, the soul, let her be silent. Let the man, the Christ, speak. That's what we have to understand. He said, I'm the first and the last, and nothing else matters. He said, my hand has also laid the foundation of the earth. Well, this my hand is kind of speaking of the left hand. Okay? You only have two hands, left and right, right? So this is speaking of the left hand, has laid the foundation of the earth. Wouldn't that be the flesh side? Wouldn't the earth be the flesh side? And then he says, and my right hand has spanned the heavens, the spiritual side. Right? That's the, you know, the what was the message in the Gospels about the goats on the left and the sheep on the right? He didn't say he was going to destroy the goats, did he? He just said they were goats. Goats got a hard-headed nature, ain't they? They go around and say, but. They're bad, yeah. So what he's saying there is what? That I've got control of everything, that I've made it all. It's all for his purpose. And he said, when I call them, they stand up together. What do you think that message is right there? You got it. You hit it right on the head, Mike. Reconciliation, right there. They all stand up together. He didn't care whether they're sheep or goats. They're all his, aren't they? Those are just analogies anyway. They're not. They're shadows and types. They don't mean anything. They're all people. And they're all going to come. That's reconciliation. And look at the next verse, 14. Look at the very first word. All. You all assemble yourselves and hear. Everybody assemble yourselves and hear. Shama. Which among them has declared these things? The Lord has loved him. That's a bad word. Has loved him in the past, didn't say loves him now. How about just putting it like it really said? The Lord loves him. Who's him? Christ is who he's talking about right now. He's talking about the Christ. God loves his Christ, doesn't he? It's his beloved. He will do his pleasure on Babylon. Babylon speaks of religious confusion. I like to use the word babyland, because that's where it starts. They're all a bunch of babies. Spiritually, as far as maturity, they have none. It's like a babyland. And in babyland, you can imagine just about anything goes, don't it? And his arm shall be on, and his arm, what's the arm represent?
Strength.
And his strength shall be on the Chaldeans. Now the word Chaldeans speaks of clod breakers. But they're also called the wisest in the land. The wisest people in the land. And what I see here, that he's giving you two functions that he's doing on two classifications of people. He said, to Babylon, the religious confused, I see that as the Passover experience. Okay? He will do his pleasure on Babylon. Whatever he wants to do, he's going to take care of it. Don't worry about it. And his strength shall be against the Chaldeans, the ones that think they got things that's smarter than God. Whole bunch of them, ain't there? That's your Pentecostal realm. Because some of your Pentecostals can be pretty nasty. I'm talking about the organization of Pentecost, not the Pentecostal experience that with God. In 15, I'll go on to 15. It says, I, even I, have spoken. Yes, I have called him, and I have brought him, and he shall make his course of life prosperous. He'll make his life prosperous. You know why? Because he's following his father's command. When you follow your father's command, nothing can go wrong. Only what God puts in your life will you have. And you say, well, you get all kinds of negative things. Yep, because Father put them there for you. He chose that course for you. And you walk the course that he chose. And your life will be prosperous. He didn't say you'll be prosperous all the way through, but at the end, you'll be prosperous. At the end, it'll be there. He said, come near to me and hear, Shama, hear you this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God in the Spirit has sent me. You know how many people say that but don't know what they're saying? Yeah, God sent me to do this. If they look, sit back and look what they're doing, I guarantee you they wouldn't say that. You know how many people run all over the globe, all around this big marble we live on, and they think it's a big party, they're out there running, I'm changing the world, and all they're doing is making a name for themselves. That's not what it's about. It's about doing what Father wants for us, what he wants done. But the Spirit of God and his Spirit has sent me. Not many people can say that in truth and in righteousness.
Is this Isaiah speaking?
Mm-hmm. Isaiah speaking, but the Spirit of the Lord speaking through Isaiah. Okay. It's the Spirit of the Lord. The same Spirit that was in Christ, the same Spirit that is in you and I.
Right.
It's the same thing. He said, God sent me. The Spirit in me was sent by God. The Spirit in you was sent by who? God. Now you've got to realize this is not just a one-person deal, but in his first fruit, he sent this Spirit, and he's got to gather his first fruit first. When he gets them, then our job is to get the rest of them. That was Jesus' story. Okay. Thus saith the Lord, verse 17, your Redeemer. According to Oriental law, he had to redeem you. Okay. The Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God. I am Yahweh Elohim, which teaches you to what? You think really God in the prophet? That word there is also ascend. I will teach you to ascend. Does that make more sense into what God's speaking? That he wants you to ascend? Doesn't the Spirit in Revelation say, come on up hither and I'll show you things, I'll tell you all kinds of stuff? I mean, it's about ascending, not getting profitable in money. Which leads you on the course of life, or not by the way, but on the course of life, that you should walk. He's going to lead you. If you'll come on up here, I'll lead you on the course that you should walk. If we ascend up in our thinking, do you think we'll have any problem walking the course that Father set for us?
He's going to show us what's best for us.
Better than any GPS man's ever come up with.
Our way.
You can't get lost, can you? It's the highway.
He'll get us from point A to B.
Yeah, he'll get you there because that's where he wants you. See, everything man has come up with, like these GPSs, God's positioning service, yeah. He'll get you there. Those GPSs they think they come up with, God had a long time ago. Okay, verse 18. Oh, that, or let's say if, is a better word for it. If you had hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been as a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. What's that saying? If you had, what? If you had hearkened or paid attention to my commandments, then your peace would be as a river and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. What's that telling you? But it's the same. He's using two analogies to say the same thing. What does a river always do?
Flow.
Never ends. What do the waves do on the ocean?
They continuously come out.
They never end. And that's why he's telling you. If you had hearkened to me, your peace would never stop and your righteousness would never stop. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
All it is obedience. I would rather have obedience than sacrifice. It's that simple. Verse 19, your seed also had been as the sand of the and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. He's saying your seed would never have been cut off. It would continue to grow and grow and grow. And your offspring as the of your bowels like the gravel thereof. A gravel, what is a piece of gravel? What is it? It's a piece off of the big rock. And are we not a piece of that rock? Mm-hmm. Same thing. He said, you know, if you're part of the rock, you can never, no matter what piece you've been whittled down to, whether it's dust, sand, or a piece of gravel, you're still a piece of that rock, no matter what. You just don't know what part you are. You just think you're a little part because you're whittled down so bad. It says, his name should not have been cut off nor destroyed before me. You know how God's name's cut off and destroyed before him? When we don't live our lives the way we should.
That's Antichrist.
It sure is Antichrist. But when we don't live the way we should, but when we don't know who we are,
we
like Paul said, I did it ignorantly. Mm-hmm. See? We were in ignorance. But once we come to the truth, we can't do that no more. The law of love that's written in our hearts is greater than any law written on a piece of paper. And that law of love, we love him because he first loved us. Once that love touches you, there's no going back. There's no bridge, there's no anything, and there's no attraction that can take you back the other way. And I think Jesus made that declaration, Father, make them one with me as I am one with you. Once you understand he already has done this thing, you're one with him, you just don't believe it's the only reason you haven't functioned in that capacity. Once you get there, hey, the world's going to be scared to death of you. I get told all the time, you're intimidating. I'm not intimidating. The truth is intimidating to the carnal mind. It's all it is.
Don't like it.
It don't like the truth. Well, I'm sorry. I like the truth. It's all I want to hear is the truth. That's all right with me. And if they're upset about it, sorry about their ways. Look what he says here in verse 20. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. What's he telling you? Get out of Passover and get out of Pentecost. There's only one more place to go. Tabernacles. Okay. Come ye out from her and be ye a separate people. Come out of them, from them. Be ye a separate people. It's not coincidence. This stuff is all tied together. Get away from that Passover and Pentecostal stuff, the man-made stuff. With a voice of singing, declare ye, tell this, uttered even to the ends of the earth, say ye, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. Let me say it a better way. The Lord has redeemed me. And you can use that same word. The Lord has redeemed me. You need to be able to say that. Just as Paul, when he taught in the New Covenant, when he wrote those letters, he said, this is my gospel. You know why he said it was my gospel? Because he knew he was part of the Christ. And tell me, what part of the Christ isn't Christ? I don't care if it's a fingernail, a hair, a pimple on the nose. I don't care. It's part of it. It's part of that body of Christ. And Paul realized he was part of that body. And when you realize that you're part of that body, you can say the same thing. This is my gospel. Just like he's saying right here. Okay? He has redeemed his servant, Jacob. That's me. He's redeemed me. Verse 21, change another word, that second word, and you thirsted not when he led you through the deserts. Realize that the whole time God had you in this journey, he's providing your food and water, isn't he? You got to be able to see you in this. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock, the word to flow out of the rock, the Christ, right? Remember the veil that was rent at the crucifixion? That opened it up to the Word, didn't it? It opened everything up. It said...
That was the tearing away of Jacob.
Sure it was. Took that flesh away. It said, for them, he said, he caused the Word to flow out of the rock, Christ, for you. Who did he do it for? Me. There you go. He clave the rock, okay? And that's the cross. He clave the rock also, and the waters flowed freely. The water flowed freely. The veil was rent.
No doubt.
He moved that veil from the carnal mind, and it's all open now. That old tabernacle was nothing more than the carnal mind housing the Holy of Holies. Now the Holy of Holies has come out. Then he say we can now boldly enter the throne room? Beautiful. And then the last verse, 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. Let's say it another way. There's no peace to the carnal mind. There's no peace in the carnal mind, is there?
No, it's hell.
It's pure hell. It's torment, day and night. It's just torment. Any comments?
No.